What a great way to start a sermon. let me pray for us. Yeah, Lord, we just want to thank you that we get to be in your house, and it is a privilege. We get to be a part. Thank you for working in our midst. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you that you are here, but thank you also that when we look to the left and to the right, surrounded by such wonderful brothers and sisters, blessed. You have a plan with us, you're leading us, and you have a plan with this town. We want to say as congregation, we are not here to be served, but to serve our town and love our town. To love the businesses where we go for coffee or where we work, to love the schools our children attend, to love the places where we exercise. We are here to serve, not to be served, and help us with that. And may the gospel go deep into our hearts this morning. Amen. This was a tough one for me. The previous part was the easy part. Because this sermon, this message, it's more in the shape of a conversation I would have with the small group leaders when we gather. And we are working through this. We have worked through this, and we're just rolling it out over the church. Some context. As small group leaders, what we are saying at the moment is, we want to have a kind of a unity and a vocabulary that we understand, defining what we want on our hearts. Places we want to lead our hearts to. 2 weeks ago, I started with the whole heart. Nie die hele hart, die English, the complete and fully healed heart, wholeness, all right? The first part we had is a loved heart, a heart that is loved well by the Lord, a heart that accepts his love, is a heart that is strong in giving love. We can only give that which we receive, isn't that true? He who is loved at home is strong in the streets. He who is not loved at home goes to the streets for love. Okay. The man who is loved well by the Lord has got a robustness in him. He knows how to go out and deal with the challenges out there because the issue of love, the matter of love is settled. We want to have loved hearts so that we can go out and love well. Isn't that true? Another part of our heart, heart's got four chambers, at least my sermon series will have four parts, is a broken heart. Now, this is a tough one for me. It's a tough one because there's a brokenness that does not seem to be godly, like to be broken away from the Lord. Are you with me? To have a broken relationship with friends is obviously not what we are referring to. When I use the word brokenness, we speak about brokenness before the Lord instead of pride. When we use the word a broken heart, it speaks of a dependence on God. Instead of, I don't need your bleeding charity. It's a brokenness we see in the psalmist when he brings his repentant heart to the Lord and the Spirit says, a broken heart and a quenched spirit, Lord, you will not despise. There's something in a healthy believer, and one of the greatest ways to explain it is to say there's a little bit of a brokenness there. It's an openness. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So remember that a broken heart is an open heart. Jesus speaks on the same line. I could have said a poor spirit if I wanted to. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. If we go to that next slide. For theirs is the kingdom of God. And in our small group, one of the members said, we did this week. They said, but at first that sounds like Jesus is asking us to be poor in faith. It's obviously not what he's saying. Being poor in spirit is a heart that acknowledges its bankruptcy before the Lord. Therefore, that heart receives. Therefore, that heart takes up what the Lord has. It's a heart that comes to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you, instead of a heart that's saying, Lord, I actually doing quite well on my own. Thank you very much. You see, blessed is the poor because the end of their poverty is near. They're moving into the presence of the Lord, and there they are filled with wonderful things because their mouths are open. sacrifice of God, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise. And so there's something we want to see amongst ourselves. It is a brokenness which is visible, which is seen in an openness. Have you seen a broken person worship? And have you seen a self-made man worship? Those are two different things. Which one pleases the Lord? That's what we are after. And we see it. Jesus actually tells a parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. And the one, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. Right, we've got two guys. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I get. I know you have a lot to give, Lord, but you know what? I only need a little, if anything. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Why? He was broken before the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. All right, so I'm just playing with the term so that you know I don't want you to be weak in faith when we use the term brokenness, but I think you all get me. Let me not be over-labor at that point. But now, what I want to say is having a poor or a poor spirit or a broken heart, I put it up there, has never been more counter-cultural than now. This is a thesis. Okay. I have. We go to that next slide. It's probably never been more counter-cultural than right now to be open about weaknesses, brokenness, like right now. We must watch out for the kettle and the frog, because we are boiling very slowly in our society, and the Bible must bring us back. But just give me a moment to just give us a little bit more background. We know from the Bible that God is the creator of us. He made us quite like Him in His image. And so when we see another person hurt, our children, our parents, our friends, it does something to us. It moves us. It's called compassion. Why do we have that? The Bible would argue because we were made like that. We were made like Him. Why do we often feel the need to respond and help when we see someone in trouble? You know, there's someone that responded from heaven. And we were made like Him. Now, we get corrupted by sin. But a lot of what we carry in us is because we were made in His image. Distorted by sin, but when we come to Him, He builds us back into His image. Slowly but surely, and then one day when He comes back, we will be complete. Now in the last century, Charles Darwin put it in words, what happened to us, in a way that's very destructive. And what he said is, no, you came here by triumphing over others. You came here by fighting your way to this place. It is a survival of the fittest. If you want to get to the top, get to work. It might cost trampling others, hurting others, but that's how you got here in the first way. And many atheist philosophers would agree with him. Leave your bleeding charity. You are on your way to the top. Now add the world we live in with social media and how things expand. I think it's never been more countercultural to have a broken heart and give yourself to another. It is a time and an age where you fight for what you want and you assert yourself. You speak about your strength, and it doesn't matter how you get there, you get there. And then Jesus comes into the world and he says, Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's countercultural. It's countercultural. You are the salt of the earth, a light in the world. Now I want to read for us some nice unbiblical quotes. Things we put on our doors if we are not awake. We need discernment, people. All right. Love yourself first, and everything else falls into line. You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world. What is that? That's the opposite to what Jesus teach. This is the fruit of what, I don't know, Darwin crystallized. This is the fruit of it. You put yourself first, everyone else second. Okay, so let's have a quiz. What does Philippians 2 verse 3 say? Who's smart here? Come on. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others higher than yourselves. These are the things we put on our doors. Amen. What are we? Christians will repost and like junk like this. And we need discernment. And they've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they did not love their lives even unto death. Being a Christian and to where this world is going is very countercultural, and the cost, the stakes will only get higher. The stakes will get higher. I've got another nice unbiblical quote. I've got a couple. The first key, the key to unlocking your universe, is to put yourself first. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And give his life a ransom for many. What do we want here? We want broken hearts. We reject this. Lord, make us a church that is different. If it means someone else comes past, I'm not in this town to be served, but to serve. If by some way I can follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Believe nothing, trust no one. We see these things on our social media, am I right? But love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13. I know you guys have enough, but I've got one more. Is that okay? Look at this. Pride-filled heart. I have worked for everything. I am self-made and proud of it. 2 Corinthians 10. He will give you. God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and bread for food. He will give you all the seed you need and make it grow. You know, it's only farmers will never speak like this. You are self-made. Okay, where's your rain? You see, we can be so full of pride. But the Lord wants us to be different. Now, the Lord, and that's why I think it feels for me a little bit more like a conversation with my family this morning. I want to go to two feasts that happened. In the one feast, we had a gathering of the broken. And at another feast, we had those that was going for the top position. I just want to compare and contrast them a little bit. There would be better scriptures maybe to go into Matthew 5 verse 3, but I just felt these stories, there's something in it for us, because maybe we see some areas in our lives that we can gather from these events. So we're going to go to Mark chapter 6 first. If we say we want to carry broken hearts, hearts that's open and soft before Him, what we need to do this morning is constantly gather the pieces of your heart as we go on with the sermon, and you see, oh Lord, there's something there. Say, Lord, will you help me with that? Okay, be responsive, be soft, be responsive, because you are able to lead your heart. That's what the scripture says. David commands his soul, be still my soul and know that he's God. What that means is by the help of a spirit, you know, you have the power to lead your heart into obedience to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So there's a feast that went down in Mark chapter 6. I'm just going to read for us. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And when they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw the crowd and he had, there it is, compassion on them. His heart turned inside his chest. He was broken for them. Jesus' body was broken on the cross. And we'll end there today. It was literally shattered. But it was not a task that he pushed too fast. On the road to the cross, often we see the gospel writers commenting on how his heart actually unravels for the people. We see it at the tomb of Lazarus. It's not the only time we see him, his heart breaking for the people. Which means when he came, he really came with his whole heart and his whole body. And maybe, I don't know, some of the people he saw, which came deep into his heart, was running through his mind as he was being crucified. He was there in full heart, full body, present for the task. Sometimes I obey the Lord out of duty, but my heart is at another place. Jesus got his heart in the moment, in the ministry, and it breaks for the people. Isn't it just a great example for us? Now he says, now in my likeness, go into this town. Go into this town. Be different. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And he breaks the wall of every man for himself, and he starts to care for others. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found it, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass. We'll see the contrast just now between the two feasts. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate, and they were satisfied. They were satisfied. He fed them with his teachings, with the word, and he fed them with bread and fish, very plain food for those days. But they all ate and they were satisfied, because when he came around the corner, his heart was moved for them. He had compassion. And so he spent time with them. The Feast of the Poor. In the same chapter, it's actually just before this, we get another feast. What the writer Mark is doing is he's contrasting 2 feasts for us. There's a lot in here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish, but let's see. And I will call this the Feast of the Proud. Look, one day I'll buy someone coffee just to help me when to know when to say proud and when to say pride. Because you know what? As I get to that sentence, I'm never sure. So let's start with Herod the Proud. I think that's right. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, is a different feast. Just before Jesus feeds the people in the plains, there's another man that feasts his guests. On his birthday, he gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee, which was the area where he reigned. For when Herodias' daughters came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." The contrast in the two feasts. And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. Something about this man, technically, Mark in one sense is being ironic, because technically this Herod was not a king. He was a ruler over Galilee. He was called Herod the Tetrarch. Now I'm giving us insight into his life, because this is the life of a man who wants to climb up. We see one king feasting in a desert that came down to those who need him. Here we see a man who wants to climb up, and the contrast is crazy. He's called Herod the Tetrarch, which means over a fourth. They're four sons. Now their father was Herod the Great. He was a king, and he was the one who massacred the babies in the time when Jesus got born. He had four sons, which each reign over a fourth of the areas he had jurisdiction over, and therefore they are called tetrarchs, which means over four. He never had the prestige that his father had. His father, by the way, one of his 10 wives was Cleopatra, Herod the Great. This Herod wanted to be like his father. He wanted to be there. And so he asked the man, it was Caesar Augustus. He asked him, "Please give me the title of king, like with my father." And Caesar Augustus said, "No." And he was very mad. He was perplexed, because this man was a man on a mission. He wanted to be more important. He was working his way to the top at all cost. Look at the head of John the Baptist. He would do anything to win the favor of people and to be considered a king. Anything. And so his heart, what we see from him is that, if we go back to that previous slide, when we get caught at Herod's stable, it's just a previous slide, if that's okay. And the king was exceedingly sorry. And you know what? It's always the result. When my heart grows full of pride, you know where it always leads? Me being sorry. The destination of running with a prideful heart is always a feeling of, it's a bitter taste. It doesn't taste great. Now it's interesting, because we see Jesus and people had nothing in the desert, and they had the most basic of foods, but he was there, and it says they were satisfied. But Herod, his prideful heart puts him in the back of a car and drives with him to places he never wanted to be. And the same is true of us. And so what are we after? Broken hearts. Broken heart. A prideful heart will always take me to Herod's stable. A broken heart might take me to a desolate place. But that is where he satisfies me. Isn't that true? Just a couple of things, if we compare and contrast these two feasts. I know it sounds a little bit more like a talk this morning, but please pick it up. Please pick this up. Take this home. Talk about this. The pride of Herod puts a bend in him and in us that we want to climb to the top. The real king climbs down to be with those in the plains who has nothing. It's countercultural. Herod's guests met in a palace. Jesus' guests found themselves in the plains. Very basic. They sat on the grass. The strong had a luxurious feast. The broken had bread, fish. They were satisfied. Among the proud, a life was taken. Among the poor, a life was given. Where are we? The proud will always get Herod as their host. The broken gets Jesus as a father. Herod was exceedingly sorry. Those who were with Jesus were satisfied. Broken, satisfied hearts will mean a lot, not only for this town as we go out in love, but it will do something to your marriage and your family. A father's heart that's open, humble, and engages from that place. A broken heart is what we are after. Blessed is the poor in heart, poor in spirit. I also want to say from that place, a broken heart is a sign of life. I just want to minister to us a little bit pastorally on this. Ezekiel 36, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. You know what that means? I have people that have told me, when I came to the Lord and I opened my heart and I really decided to follow Him, I've never cried as much after that decision. But I've never felt so alive. A heart of stone for a heart of flesh. If you come and you open up, you will get hurt. You will cry. You will get disappointed. You will ask, why did this happen to that person? That's all signs of a heart of flesh that's beating blood and life. Blessed are those who mourn now. They will have joy. And so I want to encourage you, if you walk in a way where every now and then there's tears, that's not necessarily wrong. With those in faith, there's joy and there's sorrow. There's tears and there's comfort. Because the stony heart is removed. It's not about saving face. It's not about pushing through. It's about being open. He gives us hearts of flesh. Hearts that lives. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. He gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Broken hearts is what we are after. Hearts that can be soft before Him, so that we may end up not at the table of Herod, where all the important people gathered, but that we may be in the plains where He is and be satisfied. Surely, I'm closing for us, He has borne our griefs and He carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God, afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions and He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. Far from survival of the fittest. This is the King laying down His life, giving it away. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So this morning, we turn our faces to Him. And this morning we ask Him to make us just like Him. Let's stand this morning. I know there's a lot on the platter, but let's take this home. Don't get stuck at Herod's table. Don't get stuck at that table. It can never satisfy. It's often where the people sit in little circles on the grass. They take what they're given in great company and they eat it. Then they're satisfied. You see, there's a rest for us, a deliverance. Isn't that wonderful news? Lord, make us like those, or like the man who can beat his chest before you and say, Lord, me? You did that for me. I know I don't deserve that. I receive your grace, but what wonderful grace it must be to save a sinner like me, a broken heart. Holy Spirit, make your home in our hearts. And lead us and feed us. Also show us, Lord, how to move from pride to brokenness, from Herod's table to the plains. Some of us maybe have great regrets. At the party of Herod, a man was killed. Maybe in our past there's the wake of offense and relationships that broke, and maybe marriages that broke. The strain of fighting. Bring us in. Let there be again refreshment, life, reconciliation, forgiveness. We pray that you will lead us in that. What I want us to do this morning is I want us to take a moment just to sit down next to your friend or your spouse. Yeah, you can sit down for a moment. If you see your friend, you can go and sit next to your friend if you want to. And just ask them, are we still on the plains? Is there maybe areas in our heart where we're being pulled to be pulled to Herod's table? Blessed are the poor in spirit. And let's talk about it. Maybe something popped up for you. Just share it with your friend. Let's have a conversation. And if you want to, just offer to pray with your friend. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, then I'm going to dismiss this meeting. Let's take a moment. thank you everyone just for your heart this morning that we could I could just feed this into us. It's challenging content, but it brings life. Isn't that true? This was from Mark chapter 6. Go and read it at home. Let's pray through. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, make us a church with broken hearts, rich in your love, but broken and responsive to the world around us. Amen. You guys are formally dismissed. Please grab a cup of coffee, greet someone new, hug someone. It's not COVID anymore, so go for it.